Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Hypnotic Quixotic episode 5. I am joined again by H. Anon, who I mistakenly called Mr. Hannon, my first show. But we were talking the other day and we were discussing how a lot of people are confronted with this dilemma. We titled it, "You're Awake, Now What?" We have these very deep conversations about being awake and what a unique experience it is to know what you know and to move in this world the same way. It's almost like you're carrying this burden of truth, and it's on your shoulders and it's pretty heavy, and you try to move around in the matrix and laugh and have a good time. But you know, like inside, the world is sort of burning around us. And it's like half of us know it's burning around us and half of us don't. So when the half of us who know are around the half of us who don't know, it can get pretty strange sometimes. What do you think?
Yeah, and I'll add a personal anecdote to that. On Sunday, first of all, I'm glad to be here. On Sunday, I had an outing with my father, who's 87, and we went to a pretty upscale part of our city where there's a lot of rich people, ate at this restaurant, which was a really nice restaurant. I had an anxiety attack in that restaurant and after, and it took me a day to really understand why I had it, and it goes back to exactly what you just said. When you have a foot in one world and a foot in the other world, and you're straddling it, it's a very confusing place to be because you can't really put the genie back in the bottle. I think a lot of people are struggling with that.
To have these just regular conversations with people too, when you're wanting to wake them up, but you don't want to put a wedge in your relationship. So you're just going along with the song, for lack of a better way to put it, it's going to cause a riff. And a lot of people's fragility is apparent, and our loved ones as well can possess this fragility, not want to face what we're literally facing down, which is a one world government.
People will scratch and claw and hang on for dear life to the matrix because that's all they've known. And once you can step back and look at it and realize how it's been put together, and at the core of this is money. And so what I was having a tough time with in that restaurant was looking around at all these rich people who were just kind of laughing and having a good time, and they had their cool glasses on and their hats, and they were kind of an artistic, almost movie producer type crowd, having their wine at brunch and reading the New York Times. And, you know, when you do wake up to the matrix, you realize that money is nothing. It's a piece of paper that carries all this weight inside the matrix, more weight than anything else. So when you wake up and you realize that, it's very difficult to coexist in a world where you still need money to survive. We have not transcended into the part of the ascension where money's gone. That is not happened yet. I think it will happen. So you're in this catch-22 where you kind of realize money's silly and you kind of don't want to do a lot of things for it. But unless you want to be living in a tent and not eating, you've still got to play the game.
Yeah. And that money is enslavement, right? We're all slaves to that money system.
That was why it was created. It's the Babylonian money system. It was created for that very reason. And, you know, not to get all biblical, but, you know,
it's 8 o'clock.
The scene in the Bible where Jesus goes into the money changers and overturns their tables and whips them with a donkey tail whip was for that very reason, because he understood what they were doing to the people. It's been going on for a long, long time. Whoever is trying to dismantle the matrix, create a new world, that's going to be, in my opinion, the toughest part of it, because it's so entrenched in our psyche. in our ego, in our sense of worth. If you live in a major city, you know, it's expensive. I've made a lot of money in my life too at one point. So I know what it's like to have money, not on the level of these people. This was an extremely wealthy crowd. We're talking people that, you know, live in $10, $12, $15 million houses, not $5,000 a month condos. So it was just a really strange energy and it really affected me.
But what do you think happened to you? Why did you feel anxiety exactly? Can you pinpoint it?
I think it was a combination of what you said opening up about this idea of knowing that they're using money as a weapon to divide us and to enslave us, but also knowing that at one point I was on that treadmill and trying to keep up with the Joneses. And then when I was in that restaurant looking at these people, I was thinking, well, should I just bail on all my teachings and all my, you know, knowledge of the matrix and just wake up every day and try to go make money, which I don't really want to do. But I was in that quandary where like it gave me anxiety kind of knowing what I know, but still presented with the reality I know we're leaving behind. But it's like it's not going to be for a while.
How do you think the people that are fighting every day feel like on social media, sharing the truth relentlessly? It almost becomes an addiction, a compulsive, obsessive need. When I come across a story, I'm like, oh my God, this is like, people need to know this. And since I can't in my group of friends, because I have friends of all different, you know, belief systems, I can't always have these conversations because it can get depressing, number one. You know, we still have to live, number two.
That's the quandary. That's the intersection, that the burden that comes with taking the red pill, so to speak. And I think being in that restaurant without judging these people, I got this natural instinct that they're just floating down the raft of the blue pill. And they're not burdened with the knowledge of what is going on. And they're the very people that are scratch and claw to hang on to the matrix for dear life, because that's all they've known. We were brought up before we had our so-called awakening. You know, it's been instilled into us since we were kids that the more successful you are, the more money you have, the better life you have, and the more accepted you are, and the more, it's something that's ingrained into us. And you don't just get rid of that in 24 hours. You know, it's a very difficult thing to wrestle with. The programming's, you know, we're taught to look up to wealthy people and famous people, and we're taught to aspire to be that, to do things to get that, that maybe we don't want to do. You know, like I said before, it's the very strong Archon programming that is going to break a lot of people because they've spent their whole lives acquiring money. Inevitably, when they have their awakening, you know, there's going to be a lot of, I don't want to say suicides, but mental breakdowns. And, you know, it's not going to be pretty if that's all you've staked your life on this planet.
Speaking of, you and I were talking earlier about how suicide and mental illness has increased in the population like tenfold. And that's without even this full awakening upon everyone. It's like phase one is over. So phase two is really going to...
This is a very insidious and well thought out, intricate plan that these people have created to take us down as a species. Everything is connected. It's what George Bush Sr. used to say in his speeches, 1,000 points of light. And what he meant by that was they have 1,000 things that they are doing simultaneously to destroy us. Something as simple as inflation, which they've created, will take X percent of people who are on the borderline of their budget with $300 left each month as wiggle room, like a lot of America. That inflation will eat that up. And I saw a stat the other day that said 67% of our country are two paychecks away from being homeless. So they've engineered this in ways where they know exactly what they're doing. I can't stress enough how unrandom everything we're seeing is. It's been meticulously planned by like the most brilliant chess player in the history of the galaxy. What we're seeing right now are the effects of things like inflation. And those things are pushing people to the edge. Then we'll see the next step, and then the next step, and the next step, and it will continue to build.
Yeah. Also, all these ridiculous news stories that they think that people believe, but maybe a quarter of Americans believe it, really dumb Americans. And we're gaslit daily, several times a day, by things coming out of this administration that are completely preposterous and coming out of the MSM. That is just so insulting on every level. And that's another way to make people crazy on top of the inflation, right?
I live in a city that has probably close to 80 to 100,000 people that are homeless. They're all over the city, under the bridges, on the beaches, on the roads, on the side of the freeway, on the streets, in tent city. We're sending $300 million a week to Taiwan and $100 billion to Ukraine. We have our country falling apart. That's all part of the plan. And don't think for a second that money that we're sending to Taiwan and Ukraine are going to the people to help them. That money is being laundered back through various channels, including the Vatican Bank, including the Panama banks, back into the foundations in America, out of the foundations, into the super PACs, and then right back into the politicians' pockets. I think we're starting to see this with the Biden family, with all those shell companies they've set up all over Panama, all over the Caribbean, that don't do anything. They don't sell anything. They just have PO boxes. All they do is take deposits, and then that money gets funneled right back wherever they want it to be funneled to. And our country is falling apart. People are falling into the streets. That's what we're doing. And that's all by design.
And we're pounding our borders on top of everything. So how can any semi-intelligent person believe that anything that is being done right now is for the betterment of America? How can you even come to that conclusion? How could you even support? How could one person even support this? I saw on Fox News at my mechanic today, not that I love Fox News, but I'm sure he only has like a few channels. It said that Trump and Biden were in a dead heat, and that is another form of gaslighting.
Well, you just answered your own question, and let me give you a great anecdote to what you just said about the border and about people. So my uncle, who's 78, last week fell in his driveway, tripped, hit his head, and was knocked out cold and couldn't move. And his wife took him to a very nice hospital in this city. He had to wait 19 hours on a gurney to be seen by a doctor because of all the illegal immigrants that were being tended to. Because in this country, if you show up at an emergency room, whether you have money or you have a medical card, you have to be treated. So when I was talking to him yesterday, and he's a liberal who grew up in the 60s, he's a great guy, great uncle, fought in Vietnam, but he's just brainwashed and a liberal. And he was complaining about all the things that he votes for, and he didn't even realize it. Almost wanted to say to him, you've helped create the misery you just went through because of your lack of being able to break out of the matrix and realize what is going on. And even after his experience of complaining and couldn't see a doctor, and there were all these illegal immigrants in the hospital, and what's happened to our country? Well, what's happened to our country is exactly what you've been voting for. And that's a bitter pill that so many cannot see. This is a very intelligent man who has worked for some very, very famous people, been around a lot of very smart, well-to-do people. He just cannot see it. And when I hung up the phone, I was just amazed at the level of brainwashing. It's affecting his life now, and he still can't put the dots together.
Yeah, what is it with that, with the people that call themselves like liberal or whatever? They can never, you cannot present them with metaphors or analogies because they cannot make the connection. It's like really strange. It's like, it's almost like their brains work a different way.
I think it goes back to just the sorcery of the brainwashing and how strong it is. And especially for people, the baby boomers, who really were the biggest victims of it. This guy, my uncle, didn't want the wall. He didn't like Trump, but he doesn't like going to a hospital in his city when he needs help, when he could be dead and waiting 20 hours. So what I wanted to say to him was, well, you don't see how the wall might have stopped maybe like 12 hours of your waiting? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't, it's so difficult. You want to be nice to your family and the people who are good people. But at the same time, he was also complaining about the crime in his neighborhood, that he lives in a nice neighborhood, that he was saying when Amazon trucks pull up in his neighborhood, the people are tracking the trucks. And while the driver's inside delivering Amazon, they're breaking into the trucks and stealing the rest of the stuff. And the cops won't do anything about it. But the mayor he voted for wants to defund the police. So he's complaining about the crime and he's complaining about the theft and he's complaining about the police not doing anything. But when he went into the voting booth, he voted for the mayor that wanted to defund the police. I think everybody might have a story like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the lines of their family members or friends, that is really bewildering.
I just shake my head so many times a day. I want to definitely get into your Archon knowledge because I don't have any. And I think that that stuff is fascinating.
The Archons are the top of the pyramid. They're our rulers. They're the fallen angels in the Bible. They're the Nephilim. They're in every religion of these beings that exist in the fourth dimension and feed off our energy. And the energy they need to feed off of is fear and depression and anger and war, everything but love and compassion and kindness, because these beings aren't from source or have lost their connection to source. So they don't have something called empathy or compassion or love. They work out of a hive mind of like bees. Bees aren't thinking about anything other than protecting the queen at all costs and pollinating the flowers. And that's what they do. They have a hive mind. They don't have individuality. That's what they're born and bred to do. And that's what they do. And that's what these Archons do. They need this food. They need this energy. And the only way to get this energy while they're in the unseen realm is to create it by creating homelessness and fear and people be scared about money, scared about death, scared about war, hurting each other, robbing each other. That's like a big juicy steak to them. And so they use the people, what we call the blue bloods or the elites or the Illuminati or whatever you want to call them. They use them to create a society that produces that kind of energy in exchange for secrets and rewards and success, knowledge that's been passed down through secret societies for hundreds of thousands of years. And they hoard this information and this sort of wizardry, and they use it to stay in power. And it's very difficult to get them out of power. So they use them to manipulate the world to create all of this misery. I call it the misery complex or the misery juicy steak. It's what they need. If they don't have that, then they die. It's sort of like the vampire myth, right? The vampire myth says that they need to drink blood to stay young forever, but they die in the sunlight. Well, I equate the sunlight to love. And if this planet was just full of love and kindness, which is what I think our natural state is, and benevolence, then these Archons would either have to leave and go to another planet as parasites, or they would just like shrivel up and die. So in their hive mind, they're just doing what they need to do to survive. I don't even think, from what I understand, it's even consciousness. It's not even good versus evil. It's just you're a tick and you need to latch onto a dog to drink its blood or you're going to die. I don't think the tick is thinking about the dog's feelings or thinking about anything else other than just getting that blood out of that dog.
How do they communicate with these?
Well, they communicate through, so these archons are in what I guess we call the unseen realm, or spirits, or ghosts, or whatever you want to call it, that exist in the lower fourth dimension. Because the fifth dimension is a dimension that's really about love and kindness and working together. So they can't exist in that realm. So they can't go up, because like a vampire, they'll die. And all they can do is come down or stay in the lower fourth. And the way they come down goes back to what people, I think, are a little confused about. There is an alchemy in the universe where, with certain incantations and repetition of words and noises in the third and the fourth dimension to open up and allows these spirits to materialize in physical form, drink blood, and also give verbal communication to their hosts. So it's a mistake to think that it's just a bunch of perverts running around kidnapping kids and using them as sex slaves because they're perverts. Are there some of those? Yes. But there is a method to this madness. They are using these kids because of their innocence and they're killing the innocence and the free will and the joy out of the most precious things on the planet, which is the ultimate sacrifice to these archons that was going up on the hill above where Jesus was preaching down in Jerusalem. They were burning kids up in the hill, and the smell of the burning flesh was coming down in, like, that's what they were doing. Well, it got to a point in society where people weren't putting up with that, so they had to go underground, and they had to do it in hiding and on islands and places where nobody could see what they were doing, because humanity, collective consciousness, knows that that's not right. So that's what is going on these islands. They're not just going there because they're horny. And that's what they're trying to sell us on. They're trying to sell us that Epstein Island was an island that Bill Clinton went to have sex with 17-year-olds, and Kevin Spacey went there to have sex with 17-year-old boys, and it was just a fun orgy and everybody was drinking. No, there are ancient temples and ley lines on that island. It's positioned perfectly. It goes back to the sacrificial temples and the Aztec ruins. This is a meticulously planned out ritual that is much, much bigger than just sex and perverts. It's keeping the archons fed. So as long as the archons are fed and can come into our dimension and supply the elites with all of this knowledge and power and everything they need, then the elites are happy because they stay in charge and they get to do whatever they want and control us. And the archons are happy that they get to be fat and happy and subsist. I mean, to me, from my studies, it's literally that simple. Like, that's the dynamic we're dealing with. Then below that dynamic, we're dealing with the 1,000-point plan to execute that. And it's been very well thought out.
So we're not only against politicians and oligarchs, but we're facing negative entities. Is that what you're saying?
Every religion has them. I mean, it's all over. I know the Bible's not 100% accurate. You have to search through it and find the truth, because it was really compiled over 300 years after anybody who was even around for any of that was long dead. And it was compiled at the Council of Nicaea by what we now know as the Roman Catholic Church and Constantine, the very people we call the oligarchs or the Illuminati now. So they put a lot of disinformation in there, but they had to put a lot of truth in there too, because the way they work is you can't fool the people all the time. You have to put some truth in there. And I think it might even go deeper than that. I think that they know that they can't be all bad, which is why people like George Soros and the Clintons, they pose as humanitarians and philanthropists. And they probably do give a lot of money to some good organizations as a front. But I think they do actually feel like they have to do some good deeds. So maybe their karma doesn't trap them completely. And so, you know, Jesus, it's all over the Bible. Jesus was going from town to town and eventually taught his apostles how to get these demons out of these people. And he even says, one day you will do what I do, speaking to us as humanity, greater than what I have done with my works. You will be able to do it too. And to show the people that, because he had the knowledge that the demons had, he understood how they did it. And that's why every demon that he pulled out of humans in the Bible knew him by name, because they all existed in this realm and they knew that he knew what they were doing and how they did it. And he taught his apostles that. And they went around and did it. These were just very simple people, farmers and fishers and shepherds. They were not like enlightened beings, but they were schooled by Jesus and the Essenes to do this. And so, yes, I believe that every religion, Islam, the Jewish religion, Christianity, all of them have a form of this. I believe that, yes, we are dealing with principalities in the unseen realm that are pulling the strings in our realm. And so they have to use, because they actually have no real power other than their ability to get the elites to do these rituals and then manipulate the rest of humanity into creating what we call the lower frequencies to keep them fed and keep them, you know, existing as parasites. If you've ever had a dog and you see what a tick does, it latches onto your dog, it drinks the blood, it balloons up like a big balloon and like a marble, and then it drops off and goes and has its babies. And if it can't suck that blood out, then it just dies. That's my metaphor for what these demons or entities or archons are doing.
Right, but they're getting the elites or whoever they are. I don't like using that word because it has a positive connotation and there's nothing positive about these people. They're getting something in return.
A tick is getting its life force from your dog, right? To have its babies. It needs that blood or it can't exist. And so these archons can't exist without the elites manipulating humanity into full-on destruction and despair and war and depression and mental illness and all the things that they feed off of. They don't feed off love and kindness and compassion and empathy, which is what I believe our natural state is until we were manipulated and this sort of deal was made. So that's why they've been on our planet, and they've done it to other planets too. And until we can raise our frequency to the point that they cannot feed off us anymore, then I think we are going to be in this. And so they had to create this matrix to keep their feast going. And that's kind of the game right there. And the only way they can do that is to have people like Adolf Hitler and the Catholic Church and the WEF and, you know, the Rothschilds and the bankers and the corrupt mayors and the corrupt politicians and the corrupt, you know, UN and the Rockefellers. Like, they need those people to manipulate our consciousness and our psyche to create all of this negativity. And that's why our politicians don't want the wall, because it creates negativity and it creates, a strain on our hospitals and a strain on our finances and puts people in bad moods and creates, you know, division. And, you know, it goes back to what I said, their 1,000-point plan to keep their meals coming. And until we can break that, we are at their mercy. That's sort of in essence what Jesus's message was. Like, he was teaching people, like, do unto others as you'd want done to yourself, and, you know, turn the other cheek. And what he was kind of trying to tell these people was, you will not win by fighting these people, because that's what they want. You will only vanquish them with, and this sounds corny, but with love and compassion and like helping your fellow human as much as you can. And so he knew that. But the people he was teaching were very enslaved people by the Romans and other places that, you know, were pretty much miserable and poor and uneducated. So he had to get this message, very complicated message across in parables and using nature and things that they could understand.
Wait, you know what's weird is that the left pretends to do that by messing with marginalized communities, right? Or minorities. They like to exploit them.
That's why the oldest trick in the book that they've been using, especially lately, is get a black mayor into a city like Chicago or Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York. So the black community is duped into thinking, and Obama is a good example, that these people are there to look out for them, but they're actually there to just completely trick them and keep them in slavery. Barack Obama did not do one thing in his 8 years to improve the life of African Americans in this country. Not one thing. And that's by design. That's a very insidious trick that they use to begin the collapse of our country. And then they were supposed to hand it over to Hillary, being the compassionate liberal woman, first woman president.
Yeah.
You have to vote for her. She's a woman. She's going to help.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the ultimate trickery, because you're saying that the only thing that can break the spell is love. So many people are tricked by the left because they think the left is spreading love by perpetuating some weird Marxist culture with this whole like trans thing, and gay people don't even want to deal with it. So it's like, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not like being super clear, but...
No, I know exactly what you're saying, and that's what they're doing, because when I said the Archons in and of themselves have no real power, it goes back to the fable of Lucifer or the devil, whatever you want to call this character, whether this character was real or a composite created by the Catholic Church of these Archons into one single figure, we'll never know. But what we do know was that the greatest trick the devil ever played, or the Archons ever played, was convincing people that they don't exist or he doesn't exist. And what does he have? The Master of Deception. That's their biggest tool. So
yes.
So there's a great video, I believe it's still on YouTube, of Dr. Fauci going to a neighborhood in Baltimore, a black neighborhood, with a black politician, knocking on people's doors, explaining to them why they needed to get the vaccine.
Yes, I remember that.
And this one guy, black guy, answers the door, who was awake, and they did not count on this.
It was a Jamaican guy, I think.
It was a poor neighborhood. They just thought everybody was going to be brainwashed and dumb, how they want them to be. And this guy was fucking on it. He understood what he was saying. He knew what their game was, and he let them have it. And they just walked away.
Yeah, that was a nice like circle to what I was trying to say, because I'm not that articulate, because it's much later here where I am than where you are. That love that they purport is fake.
Yeah, they have to trick them through that. But this guy wasn't having any of it. He understood what they were doing. He knew why they were going door to door. He knew what the vaccine was, and he let them have it. And that's their worst nightmare, when you have people like that in that community rising up and letting them have it. Now, in that instance, it wasn't about this guy, you know, having love for them. That wasn't the point. The point was this guy letting them know that he knew what they were doing. You have to have that knowledge first. And then
yeah, that they were the masters of deception.
Yeah, then you can get to the Archons and the aliens. But we got to solve, first of all, the people need to know, first of all, what's going on the ground.
But my point, I guess my main point was, and it's going to be like whatever, but was that the liberals are going around and purporting love. They're the accepting ones. They're the ones that are trying to help everybody. When it's all fake, and it creates more misery, and it creates more suffering and more poverty and more division.
That's exactly what they're doing. And that's what they did in my city. They elected a black mayor, woman, who a lot of white liberals voted for because they thought it was so cool that there's a black lesbian, you know, woman running our city now. She's going to solve all our problems. Well, the homelessness has tripled. She's not doing anything about that. She's not doing anything about people getting robbed and stabbed. She's not doing anything about the immigrants coming across the border in California. She's doing none of that. But that they voted for her because she convinced them that just because of her skin color and her gender that, you know, she was, you know, the person to solve all the problems. And, you know, and they didn't learn their lesson with Obama, and they did not learn their lesson with the woman in, you know, Chicago, who destroyed that city. And then the new guy who's destroying it even more. And then the guy in New York who's destroying it. And, you know, the real problem in this country are not minorities. The real problem are white liberal people who just cannot seem to understand how tricked they are being.
Especially the women that are like, you know, have their husband's balls in a vice, convincing their husband after watching shit TV all day of all these lies.
You know, there's a reason that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are on the board of directors of Netflix. It's not an accident.
Right.
They have a hand in the programming that they're creating, because that programming is one little spark of the 1,000-point plan.
Yeah.
And I could spend 5 hours going through the plan it would take.
And the plan, and the ultimate plan is?
The ultimate plan is to keep the people and the world unhappy and miserable. That's the plan.
Right. And Klaus Schwab keeps saying you own nothing and be happy.
Exactly.
That's the great deception.
And so he's a, you know, he knows, he's probably one of those people that gets to go into the room for the ceremonies.
At CERN?
Maybe. But he certainly could be a candidate for one of those archons, you know, inhabiting him, like in, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, like that movie. You know, that's what they do. So, you know, yeah, I mean, he's a powerful liar, and
he's like a warlock. He's a warlock.
Exactly.
Isn't that the perfect name for him? Because he's literally fomenting war.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's terrible.
You know, well, regardless of what people think of Putin and Ukraine, like, one thing is for certain. The UN broke every treaty when it came to the treaty they made after World War II, in terms of not putting biological labs on, you know, on his border, not having nuclear weapons on his border, not killing the indigenous Russian people that after World War II, and they carved up, you know, parts of Russia, and Ukraine was sort of refounded. And there were still a lot of Slavic people there that were technically still, they're still Russian, they're Slavic. And, you know, they were killing them. They did everything they could to provoke him into doing what he did. And so, whether you like it or don't like it, or believe in what he's doing or don't believe in what he's doing, you know, they're very good at doing that. They provoked World War I. They provoked World War II. They play both sides. They're very clever. They know what to do. They understand the human psyche. They understand politics. They understand emotions, and they know how to do it. And they did it with Napoleon. They did it with, you know, Julius Caesar. They did it with, you know, Hannibal. They did it with Alexander the Great. All these people that have just created all this misery, is all stems back to the manipulation of the archons down through the elites, through these ceremonies.
So tell me who the archons are comprised of again, the Nephilim. What are they?
So, you know, the archons, I mean, are basically, you know, each religion has their own sort
of fallen angels.
Yeah. Like, so if you want to just talk about the Bible, they're the 300 fallen angels that, you know, came down, were kicked out of heaven or the galaxy or whatever you call it, and then came down to earth and, you know, to get back at source or God or whatever, they decided to create a prison planet. And they'd done it with other planets like Mars, which is a dead planet that which used to thrive. And then they just, like a tick, sucked the life out of the planet. And you know, once they're fed or once they're vanquished or there's a nuclear war or the planet's ruined, they just move on to the next planet. And so you could call them demons, you could call them ghosts, you could call them fallen angels, you could call them archons, you could call them the Chitahuri, which is what the Africans call them. You could call them, you know, I forget exactly what the Aztecs called them, but they had a name for them too. And that's why they built those sacrificial temples. I mean, they're just these hive-minded
entities, right? Okay, what happened to you? I was just entities. And
so I think the Archons didn't like what I was saying and they shut all my power off.
Come on, so tell me what happened.
Well, I was sitting in my place talking about the Archons and what their goal is, and then everything just went out. It dimmed twice, and then it just everything went out. The internet, everything. And then it came back on like 25 seconds later.
So is it in your firm belief system that they can do that to any of us at any time? I mean, what are you suggesting?
I do not know the answer to that, but I thought it was interesting that that's never happened before to me.
And you're not having a storm there or anything?
No, but there is a full moon.
Yes, there is. I was just asking for a clear-cut definition of Archons. So are Archons reptilians or no? I don't know about that either. I'm really dumb when it comes to this stuff.
The indication is that from all these societies who built these statues and two-legged reptilians that were almost human-like, but a little taller, like holding babies. They're all over the world.
Like Sleestaks?
Yeah, like Sleestaks. When they manifest into the third dimension from the fourth dimension, the common theme from all these religions is that they arrive in some sort of reptilian body. So people built these statues and did these drawings, and it's not because they had great imaginations. I think that they were drawing what they saw and creating statues of what they saw. So that's my understanding, yes.
So the Archons and the reptilians are one and the same?
Yes.
Oh, what about Draco? What is that?
So the same. It's just the same name for, you know, it's like Lucifer has a million names. He's the Green Man. He's the Devil. He's Enki. He's Raphael. He's Poseidon. Each, you know, that's part of the trickery, is like these names. And what the Bible did so cleverly was, in my opinion from studying it, was that they took a basic kernel of truth about our world and our planet and created like a Monet sort of painting out of it, or a movie with a bunch of composite characters and symbols and ways to tell the story and trick us and give us a little bit of truth and, you know, give us some misinformation and give us a bunch of names and, you know, the whole, Old Testament is all about lineages and names and bloodlines and this and that. And it's very confusing. Made it easy to decipher what is really going on. But they have given us a lot of clues that very smart people have, I think, put together and created a pretty nice picture of what I believe from studying this array of people is going on.
And the only way to defeat it is for what's the percentage of people that need to vibrate at a love frequency? Was that like the harmonic convergence in 1987 where they tried to shift consciousness? It was the first world meditation. Do you know anything about that?
I do. So, well, you hit it right on the head, 100%, that
no way
cannot have a, I can't give you the number, but a person like Nikola Tesla understood. He said that the secrets to the universe are in the numbers 3, 6, and 9. I would have to think that that had something to do with, you know, what we're talking about on some level. I know that the Revolutionary War was won and only 3% of the people in America participated in it. My understanding is you don't need 100% of anything to achieve your goal in this universe. And, you know, numbers are very important. So could it be 3%? Could it be 33%? Could it be, you know, I don't have the answer to that, but I think we're getting close to it. And I think they're panicking, which is why we're seeing such, for lack of a better word, like insanity. They're just kind of going
there because they're getting desperate because so many people are waking up. You mean?
Yes.
Yeah. But the people that are waking up, do they realize that they have to stay in a high frequency? Because all the spiritual people that I know are not able to sustain a high frequency 100% of the time. Well, so is it, can we all do it like randomly at one time and that'll be enough to kill it off? And then what happens to the elites? Because they're not archons. What are they going to do? They already have all this knowledge. Do they really need anything else from the archons?
Well, they want to stay in charge. They don't want a revolution. They don't want us, you know, wait. Well, let me go back. We got to work in steps here. You know, we've been under a
psyop,
a web of slavery on this planet for a very long time.
A psyop.
And, yeah. And so on in every level of society. So what we're talking about here is, you know, we're not expecting everybody in every neighborhood to,
it's 9 o'clock, you know,
understand this. First, you have to wake up to what the politicians are doing to you, because you have to, it's a ladder. You have to like what the guy did with Fauci. Like, I would love to find that guy. That was over 2 years ago, and see where else he's gone with his awakening and his knowledge. Maybe he is talking about the archons. Maybe he understands that. Maybe he's only at the chemtrails. Like, maybe he's only at the depopulation program. Maybe, we don't know. But, you know, he was awake enough to let them know that he knew what they were up to. And so you have to start somewhere. And so,
But they're accelerating at such a rate, okay, with their plans and their digital currency and their, you know, vaccine, whatever mandates or the pandemic treaty, like all these things are looming in the background consistently, which keeps people in a low vibration. It can affect me and I can get into a low vibration sometimes when I carry around the burden of all this knowledge. So it's like a real, real like hard thing to try to, like, I'm supposed to walk around like happy and skipping all the time, and that's supposed to change the world.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, of the mess we got ourselves into as humanity. And it has taken many, 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 many thousands of years, and they've done this on other planets. So, you know, we were on a timeline where I believe they were going to succeed, and they believe they were going to succeed. And then that shifted. And so we're going to have to continue to shift it. And do I think it's possible? Like, I'm not at the space in my life where I don't get ever angry or sad or depressed or infuriated by, I mean, I got infuriated. I had a panic attack the other day, you know, I got infuriated when I saw that, you know, when I went down and saw the homeless row and then came home and basically had to, you know, give my friend like 10 bucks who's homeless to eat, and then saw all the other homeless people there. And then I come home to the news that Mitch McConnell's, you know, sending $300 million to Taiwan. I got angry.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's like a perpetual cycle. I don't see any end to it.
Well, I mean, that's the tender trap right there. They are scared. I think they know from their AI technology that what they never thought would happen is happening. The people are waking up, which is the first step to vanquish them. And they had total control of the media for 150 years and total control of the education system, total control of the financial system. And we're starting to see some dents in that. And they never thought that would happen. And so there is some good news. I don't think we're going to vanquish this very intelligent, hive-minded, parasitic species in, you know, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 7 years. I think that it's going to be a long, painful process. But I do think we'll get there.
Do you think that you and I will live to see it?
I hope so. I really do.
I'm not sure about that.
It's the one, you know, a lot of planets don't ever escape the web. And
what happened on Mars? Now I'm like, I keep thinking about that.
Totally took over Mars. They did what they're doing to Earth. And then they got to the point where, like, you know, they were just like tired of it and there wasn't enough sustenance for them. So they just like destroyed it in nuclear Armageddon, which. And then they move on to the next planet because that's just their hive mind. And that's the ultimate goal for Earth was that. I mean, what they were hoping that was that Hillary would come in and, you know, we would. I think that timeline was changed. I think we were really close to something catastrophic that we headed off by the grace of God. And now we're just like getting a beachhead and like letting people know what's going on and what their plans were. And going back to that guy in Baltimore, like people understanding what these people are doing. Because until you understand what they're doing, and when I say that, I don't mean the Archons right now. I mean the Faucis and the Kevin McCarthys and the politicians and, you know, the mayors, the low-level people, that the foot soldiers that are there to trick us. Until we understand that they're tricking us, then we can't graduate to the next level of, okay, well, then who do they answer to and why are they tricking us and what are they getting out of it?
But some of them are unconsciously doing it, don't you think? Like, I mean, they know that they're doing shitty things, but I don't know that they're necessarily making the connection that they're doing the Archon's work, the devil's work.
I don't think all of them know that. I think it's very subtle. I think that, you know, they're given earthly rewards. They're given a great position, a pension, a salary.
To go along to get along.
That would be an individual thing that we'll never know who knows exactly what. But they know that their specific job, you know, the other thing they do well is they compartmentalize their plans. So one of the reasons that the nuclear bomb in America was built so quickly and we beat the Russians and the Germans was because of the compartmentalization plan, where they compartmentalized who needed to know what. So there were hundreds and hundreds of people that were working on something that they had no clue what they were working on. Their specific job was to mine uranium. Another job was to figure out how to split the atom. Another person's job was to know how to, you know, find plutonium. And there were
be a machinist for this one part and over and over again.
My friend's father worked on Tinian Island. He was in the army. And he loaded the bomb onto the Enola Gay plane that dropped the first bomb on Hiroshima. He had no idea what he was doing. He was just a guy that worked in the airport that, like, was refueling planes and, you know, like, you know, fixing potholes in the airport and helping out. He didn't know what this bomb was.
Wow. That's like, I liken that to like Rosa Corey. I used to follow her before she passed away. She was pretty much my teacher on Agenda 21. And she was in California. And she used to talk about Santa Barbara a lot, about how far along that smart city was. And she said that they would start at the most minute level of the town government and the committees. And keep using these cozy words like sustainable and compassionate. They would take these useful idiots and they would, you know, enact all this zoning to do these stack and packs, right? To create these 15-minute cities. She said that nobody knew that they were part of a larger agenda, a larger evil scheme in which to enslave humanity. And she did tons of videos. I don't know if you've ever seen her, but she gave me a good education on that starting about 7 years ago.
Yeah, she's right. And that's why compartmentalization is so key to this stuff, because mm-hmm. would all these people, and it took hundreds and hundreds of people and 3 years and $2 billion, would they all have participated in building these bombs if they knew exactly what they were and what they were doing?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, because there's so many moving parts and the agenda and the plans are so vast. It takes like a bunch of little ants, right? In an ant village to do it. And like you said, like nobody knows what the heck they're doing. She made that point time and time again, that they just would take, you know, have these innocent, dumb people feel like they were helping humanity, making these bike lanes, you know what I mean? Making these whatever, zoning out, you know, removing property for private homes, like all kinds of stuff that was so insidious, disempowering to the individual. But they were like, oh, it's good for the environment. I'm being sustainable and green and I'm compassionate. And that's what they did to the people with the fucking vaccine.
Yes. Yes, they did.
So it's like the same plan. They just keep doing over and over and over again.
And until the people learn their lesson and wake up, they will keep doing it. And that's going back to, like, we have to take this in steps. We have a lot of people that are very, very inoculated and brainwashed. And some of them are never going to wake up. But we don't need everybody. That's the good news. You do what you can do and you try to pass your truth on and your knowledge. And, you know, don't take what I say or you say as fact. You know, do your own research. I don't just say these things because I read it from one person. This is, you know, I'm a dot connector and, you know, my knowledge comes from studying various different sources and finding the commonalities between them, because there is a lot of disinformation and I've probably taken in a lot of it. It's hard to figure out everything, but I think I have a fairly good grasp of what, how they do it. And when you figure out how they do it, it's actually pretty simple because, you know, they, like I said, their biggest worry was people waking up of how they do it. They don't need to understand necessarily the archons and exactly how the membrane gets thinned with the blood sacrifice and are they reptilian and or are they, you know, do they, you know, shapeshift? All that stuff is great to know, but it's not really needed to accomplish what we need to accomplish. And so when we understand, like, I'll give you a perfect example. 20 years ago, nobody really knew what a false flag was.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, everybody that you come in contact with, practically, not everybody, but it's like common knowledge now that when we see something happening, that a majority of people are like rolling their eyes and saying that's a false flag. So that's a perfect example of something that they never thought we would figure out.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's just, you know, and then when you figure out, like, the chemtrails is another thing. Like, was anybody really, I mean, there were a few people talking about it 20 years ago, but, you know, really on the fringe. Now I got, 75-year-old grandmas on my Instagram, you know, sending me DMs about chemtrails in Wisconsin, you know, and, you know, it's so people are waking up.
Yeah.
And I keep going back to that guy in Baltimore because, like, that video really hit me because you could see the shock on Dr. Fauci and that other woman politician's face that this guy had this knowledge and they just got the hell out of there as quick as they could.
I see what you're saying. I want to be more optimistic. I mean, I can't stop. I think once you know the truth, like, you can't stop sharing it. and they know that it's happening, and that's why they're trying to label it disinformation, and they're trying to do the Ministry of Truth and all this other shit to try to stop people from having the First Amendment. Because if it wasn't true, then they wouldn't be trying to silence it.
I think they know through some form of AI technology or future time travel or whatever, they know the timeline has shifted. Now, that to them, they never thought would happen. And so by knowing that, they has sent them into like a panic that they, I don't think, really know exactly how to deal with it. Like, have you noticed that none of these things are working? Like the Ministry of Truth never really worked. You know, the next pandemic, you know, all the scares that we've gotten about in the last year and a half, none of them have really panned out, right? They haven't been able to create a nuclear war in Ukraine. You know, they haven't been able to create civil war in America. They haven't been able to, I don't think, kill as many people as they thought with the vaccine. So I think that they're looking at a situation where the plans they had aren't coming to fruition. And I don't know if they had a plan B. And so they're in a little bit of a panic. And so, like, I don't think
so. It's Operation Get Trump Now.
Yeah, I mean, it's that. It's like, I think that, you know, they tried to roll out the CBDC in Uganda and Niger, and the people rejected it. You know, they thought that these stupid people in Africa, the way they look at them, you know, we're just going to line up to fucking get this, you know, chip. And, you know, they offered them $2,000, I think, a month. You should go read about this. I think it was Niger. And they had to get a chip, and they would have to get their banks monitored. And that was a lot of money for some of these people. And like 8% of the people accepted it. It was like a little focus group they did. And then they ran the president of Nigeria out of the country with a coup. And so they weren't putting up with it. So if they're not putting up with it, then I don't see humanity putting up with it. So they're losing at every turn of their plans.
But don't you think it's close in Europe, though? I mean, I think I read that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I've been hearing CBDC, CBDC, Fed now, this and that for a while. And I just don't see it happening. I think too many people are awake. I think it's going to be rejected. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think, are there going to be 10% or 12% of the people that will get a chip for X amount of money, you know, a month to, you know, be monitored and do that? Yeah, there's going to be some people, but it's not going to be enough that, you know, I think the vaccine's a perfect example. I think that they're shocked, and I can't tell you why. My own personal theory is somehow, some way, a lot of the vaccines turned out to be placebos. And I don't know exactly how that happened, but some intervention happened. And, you know, are there people being injured? Yes. Are there people dying? Yes. Are there people getting rare diseases? Yes. But I don't think it's at the level that they planned for. I really think they were planning for billions of people to be gone. And that's not happening, at least right now.
I don't think so, because I think it's a longer kill. The spike protein is like cyanide, but a long, drawn out cyanide that's going to create chronic conditions and create more revenue for the pharma industry. Because if everybody died at once, then people would be up in arms, and everybody would unite.
Yes. I still feel that.
And 89% of people are now against the vax.
Yes. So they're not going to. So whatever their next plan was, like, is not going to work. I do not think they're going to be able to pull off another pandemic. I just don't. I don't think it's going to work. So I don't think the nuclear war is going to work. I don't think the chip and CBDC is going to work. I don't think that the smart cities are going to work. I just don't think that their plan is going to turn out the way that they had imagined. I don't know about that. That's a little bit of fear mongering. Do I think it's possible? Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't think it's probable.
I can't imagine it happening because I work in an industry that it would just cripple. It would just shut it down. I don't know. Could they be that destructive?
I don't know if they have the power anymore that they had at one time to do stuff like that. I think that they've been weakened. And when I say weakened, I mean the foot soldiers, not the archons. I mean the people that carry out their plans. And I don't know if they have the full control of the steering wheel the way they used to have it. I think that there's a force working against them that has taken some power away from them. And I think that, it was very telling the other day. Did you see where Mitch McConnell froze for about 40 seconds at that press conference?
Yeah, what happened?
It was very strange.
Was it a stroke or something?
We don't know, but it was very interesting. Like that little signs like that, like he looked very weak and feeble to people. And, he's a person that's played a big part in harming our country and executing this plan. He's been there a long time. His wife is a very powerful and wealthy woman from the communist CCP party in China. And, that like really rang true to me that like his power is coming to an end. That's what I read into it, whether it was a stroke or whether that was a clone or whether I don't know. Because I'm not there, but something about that, it was like the Georgia Guidestones being blown up a year and a half ago last week, another sign, like that's where they put their plans on these rocks in Georgia that basically spells out their depopulation program and everything that we're talking about, out of nowhere, what, a lightning bolt strikes it and strikes it down, that's like, come on.
Nobody blew it up.
I think it was blown up by some form of a, directed energy weapon as sort of symbolic of, I thought that was another like chink in the timeline. They blew that up. It's a very big symbol for these people. And I think that the force working against these people blew it up, letting them know like your time is over. This plan is not happening.
Okay, so you sound optimistic. That's nice.
No, I'm not. I think that what I believe is that the plan they had in store for us, which basically was in like a Terminator, Blade Runner, dystopia, smart city, Marxist, polluted hellhole of, a planet with 500 million humans.
Like Ready Player One, right? That movie?
Yes. I don't think that they're going to be able to do that. That's my opinion. Are they going to raise hell? I don't think they're going to come out of their bunkers and surrender. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think that they still have a lot they could do. I don't think the heat in some of the states right now is an accident. I think that they're still have the ability to control the weather. They still have the ability to, promote fear. I think that they have the ability to try to start wars and, derail trains and other things that are not good. But I don't think we're headed for the dystopia that they were sure that they were headed to.
Okay. On that note, I'm going to thank you very much for joining me again. As always, it was a very interesting, lively, and stimulating conversation. And I hope to have you on again.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Thank you.